When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. Tonight, this is a little sermon that I preached about mental health for a Eucharist that we were praying for mental health, including yours and mine and all of ours. I think that is one of the greatest challenges of our day, how to see our mental health struggles in a medical and spiritual light. We need both treatments to help us through, I believe. We need to go talk to our doctors and counselors and therapists. And we also need to see where our faith can help us through these struggles of our lives. I'm glad you're here. The Pharisees showed up and began to argue with Jesus to test him. They asked for a sign from heaven. With an impatient sigh, Jesus said, "Why does this generation look for a sign? I assure you that no sign will be given to it." Leaving them, he got back in the boat and crossed to the other side of the lake. Jesus' disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, so they had only one loaf with them in the boat. He gave them strict orders. "Watch out and be on your guard for the yeast of the Pharisees as well as the yeast of Herod." The disciples discussed this among themselves. "He said this because we have no bread." Jesus knew what they were discussing and said, "Why are you talking about the fact that you don't have any bread? Don't you grasp what has happened? Don't you understand? Are your hearts so resistant to what God is doing? Don't you have eyes? Why can't you see? Don't you have ears? Why can't you hear? Don't you remember? When I broke 5 loaves of bread for those 5,000 people, how many baskets full of leftovers did you gather?" They answered, 12. "And when I broke 7 loaves of bread for those 4,000 people, how many baskets full of leftovers did you gather?" They answered, 7. Jesus said to them, "And you still don't understand?" Jesus and his disciples came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him and heal him. Taking the blind man's hand, Jesus led him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hand on the man, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees, only they are walking around." And Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open. His sight was restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Tonight I'm burdened for those that struggle with illnesses of the mind that have existed since time immemorial. The patron saint of our church was thought to be mentally ill by many pundits and secularists and others who have commented on her visions over the years. And certainly she struggled with what we would call mental health crises throughout her brief life, given things that she went through. But her visions were from God, as were amply confirmed by many witnesses. And so there is always this tension between what is an illness and what is my spiritual struggle and what is God telling me. And I think a good doctor and good therapist can help us sort those things out, which is what. And it was true in Jesus' day. People had a wide variety of answers for why people had struggles, why people were dealing with difficulty. There's the obvious healings of people in the New Testament that are very clearly the healings of body, of mind, and of spirit. But there's these other illnesses too. One of the symptoms, one of the many symptoms of a lot of mental health disorders is a foreshortened future, a kind of anxiety that clouds the mind, where you can't see ahead of you. You can't see a timeline beyond just this moment right now. Sometimes that leads to impulsive behaviors. Sometimes that leads to panic. But more often, it just leads to despair It's really hard to think of a good day that's on the horizon. It's hard to think of a future event that isn't full of sadness and tragedy and pain. This is the struggle of people that struggle, like me, with mental illness. And so the disciples have a little bit of this when they are saying, we don't have any bread. We don't have any bread. And what does Jesus do? He reminds them of the feeding of the 5,000. That you got enough bread for everything you need. You have enough bread right now. And then I fed how many other people? 4,000 with the 7 loaves or something. And we had left over. There was an abundance left over of bread. Jesus reminds them. And that there was like too much bread. You had enough. I know the symptom of this despair, this foreshortened future, this there's not going to be enough. I'm not going to make it. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse, that our symptoms often tell us. Part of the answer is that Jesus reminds us there will be enough. There will be abundance. There will be more life than you need, even, where you say, this is too much. I've got enough to share. Isn't that the secret to happiness, to have enough to share? That's the joy of having the abundance of God. And so his disciples learn this lesson, and they will carry this with them through the hardships of their lives after he's gone. Talk about a crisis for them. But it was these messages that got them through. In the Lord's Prayer that we will pray in just a moment, give us this day our daily bread. And I think this is the answer to that anxiety that says, today's your last day, that there's never going to be a better one. Those lies that come to us so often, and so many people who struggle, they are just lies. They're not true. Jesus reminds us that there is always enough to share. There's always enough to go around. And ultimately, what bread means in this context is love. There's always enough love to go around. There will always be an abundance of God's love, no matter what. And then he meets this blind man. He spits. I don't know what that's all about. The saliva in his eye. Maybe he's reminding him of the stuff that we're all made of. You know, we're all just water, and the water of Jesus, the water of us. I don't know. Maybe he needed a sign. Maybe he needed to feel something, you know, on his eye to sort of open it. I don't know what was going on there. I know that he does tell him, don't go back to the village. You know, the village called. They're missing their idiot. And I think often when you've been healed by Jesus or experienced some healing and growth in your life, it's probably good not to go back to the village right away. The village there, I think, represents people that aren't going to understand his healing. They're not going to understand the newness that he is going to experience of transformation. He's going to go back and say, wow, look at all these people I can see. I love what he says. I see people like trees walking. He's never seen people, but he's felt them. And he knows that they're kind of like long, like a tree. And he knows himself too. That's his only perception of the world. Now he has this new perspective. And when you've experienced a little bit of healing from Jesus, it's really hard to go back to the village and to find the constrictions of that and the people that don't really think you're any better. And they'll remind you. In systems theory, there's this effect when someone gets a little more self-differentiated, starts to become more of their true self, who they have always been, and it starts to come out a little more. There is an attempt to bring them back down. And it first starts with sweet talking, entreaties, false friendships, kind of lure that person back into what they were before. And then there's the harsh penalties that come after that from the system, from the village. And I think Jesus kind of knew that that might happen to this guy. So he says, don't go back to the village. The weird experience that you just had of being able to see is something that you got to like take some time for yourself for first. That's also a principle of healing, that sometimes we need to say no to the village in our time of healing, in our time with Jesus, because he's present. He gives us this bread, our daily bread, just enough for today. If you try to hang on to it or save it, there's always stories of people taking the Eucharistic bread home And, you know, I'm not the bread police. But, you know, like, there's enough. There will be enough. Tomorrow, too. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And it's so hard to believe that sometimes. But it's true. Because I know that Jesus told me that. He told his disciples that. And that's who we are. Amen.